Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
I did mean to say that we have the safe arrival of grandchild number seven. Number eight is due next month. I used to be 6'6", and then my kids started having children, and this is what happened. But thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love and your support. Much appreciated. Susan sends her regards. She's not feeling well, but we trust, like many of you, you will continue to get better as she will continue to get better. And last week, I was reminded by a member of our congregation who asked for prayer after the service that, you know, we want to give an opportunity for people to receive prayer so that we can pray with you, not just for you, but with you. So maybe from next week during worship, if you will want to stand and say, you know, I want someone to stand with me, because the Bible says we're two agree on anything, there it is. So I want someone to agree with me. Then just make it a natural part of our church service where you just come forward and we'll pray with you. And we'll believe that God's power will work, because we speak about it, we sing about it, we read about the Spirit of God moving. And so often, we don't expect God to move, but he does. He moves in all kinds of ways. I want to continue on a theme that I started last week, and I want to read the same statement out, if I may, to you and to myself as a believer. I've been thinking about a song ever since Clive brought it to church, I'm no longer a slave to sin. But I am a child of God. And I have the privilege of taking the service of remembrance for a dear lady that passed away recently. And it came to me afresh. And the amount of people that came after that service and shook my hand with a smile on their face and said, that was so powerful. And Christians would say, the Spirit of God really did touch me during that service of remembrance. It's a funeral service, and there's a portion of scripture that I read out, and we've heard it time and time again. Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who's overcome the law. And we can see that the death has no hold on us, so we don't have to fear death. But the thing that struck me was, I was at a meeting quite recently and something happened to me. So I started to look up what it meant to be enslaved. I'm no longer a slave to fear. So what was that meaning? And one meaning said this: a person who is the legal property of another and is forced to obey them. That can be fearful. That's the slave. We're enslaved because we've been purchased by somebody else who forces us to do the very things that we don't want to do. And then fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain or harm. So for me, I thought I'd develop this hardness about me that didn't fear things anymore, that I'm a child of God. We read the scripture, we sing the songs. And for me, I understand scripture. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. But I was at a meeting not long ago, and it was a public forum, and something was said, and I just started to turn to jelly. My knees started to shake. Everything in me started to quiver. And even though I felt the need to stand up and defend the defenseless, to stand in the gap for what was right and true, as I started to speak, my voice changed, and it went up and down, and I really became fearful. And I can only liken it to what the military call post-traumatic stress disorder. Something happened to me in my life some years ago, and I was reminded of it afresh in this meeting. There were so many similarities that I became fearful. And I realized, for me, I don't know about your journey, but for me, fear just crept up on me. It was almost, it pounced, it was a suddenly, and everything within me wanted to just disappear. But there was something in me that rose up, and that something was the Spirit of God. Because I have a different spirit. The same, if you're a Christian, you have a different spirit. So when fear, if you are like me, or maybe you're not, maybe you don't experience these things. But in church life, we want to bring something that is going to empower us, impact us, and set us free. It's going to enable us to stand on the solid rock You know, when we build our house, the Bible says build it on something firm, a firm foundation. But there are times where we try to put an extension on what God has given us, and sometimes that extension is built on something that's not solid. And that's when we can experience fear. That's when the enemy can suddenly creep up on us. But we need to be a people that will remind him that we've been purchased, that we no longer belong to the enemy. We're no longer a slave to fear. We no longer have to live in that sinful state. We've been purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. You belong to God. You are a child of God. So for me, there was four things as I was growing up, four major fears in my life, and I just wanted to use them as a backdrop to give me something to share that hopefully will be encouraging and hopefully be relevant. And I was afraid of the dark. I said last week that I was so afraid of the dark. Whenever I used to go into a dark situation, I would speak to myself as if I was the third person. So if anyone was lurking behind the tree, they thought there was two of me. That's how afraid I was. Every time I went to sleep, I had this imagination that I could see things under the bed. It was an awful experience. I was fearful of failure. I grew up in an area where there were large families, and I was one of nine children, and my father died when I was 11. I was brought up by my mum. My mum used to open the door and say, "Goodbye, come home when you're hungry." And that was my life. And I grew up on the streets, as they say, in the real world, as people say. They use that terminology, whatever that means. But I used to be afraid of failure because I would see everybody else and think, if only I was as tall, as smart, as clever, as articulate as them. So growing up, right from a young age, I always poked my nose into places where it wasn't welcome. I realised that I had a lot in common with Peter. Peter used to walk, I believe, with a limp. And he walked with a limp because he always had one foot in his mouth. And that was me growing up. I was afraid of failure. And I had a fear of losing loved ones, that people around me would die. And from the time my father died, my grandfather before at the age of 8, then my father at 11, then I kept losing people who were father figures to me. And I had a great fear of losing people. And the biggest fear I had was the fear of reading in public, of speaking in public. That was my biggest fear. And through school life, they would ask me to stand up and read from the Jack and Jill book or whatever it was, and I would just freeze. I would just freeze. So talking about fear is something that I want to share, because I want us to take God's word. I want us to look at God's word, and my story may be relevant for some of you, but that's not going to set you free. But what will set us free is God's word. Yes? God's word is the word that we need to meditate on, the Bible says. We need to read, we need to understand. Not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So for us in Grace Community Church, over these years, we've tried to minister his word. To preach is to proclaim, is to prophesy, is to speak it out. We've done our level best to preach his word, to share his word, so that for maybe one or two of you today, you can receive this as something that will encourage you to know that you're no longer a slave to fear because you are a child of God. No longer a slave to fear because you've been bought at a price, which makes you a child of God. When you're a child of God, you have all that the children of God can receive from the Father. Everything that the Father gave to Jesus, as the Son, he gives to you. So for me, as a parent, I want to lavish what God has lavished on me on them. As a grandparent, I want everything that God has given me, I want to give to them. There are things that they don't have to earn, because they receive them from me, Father. And that's the same with God. You're his children. So you can use scripture to fight. You can use scripture to encourage. No weapon forged against me will prosper. Every word, every accusation that rises up to accuse me, I will stamp down. Why? Because you're a child of God. So first scripture that I have here is in Luke 1:37, and it says this: "For no word from God will ever fail." And we're talking about here that the Lord was speaking to Mary. It goes on in 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. But I just wanted to focus on that 37 where it says, no word from God will ever fail. So I want to say to you and to me, to us and anyone that may listen to this word, that when God says it, he will do it. You know, so often, I think I used this illustration before, this seed, this time, and this harvest. This seed, time, and harvest. And I was saying to Nikki Ingersoll when she visited last week, don't dig up your seed. God has planted something in your heart. Let it do a work. And so often, for us as humans, we want to go and... My kids, my grandchildren planted some carrot seeds. And every week they'd come around, are they there yet? And they want to dig the seed up. And I go, no, don't disturb the roots. Because if you do, they won't grow. But in the spiritual sense, we can do the same thing, can't we? Where are we now? I'm 23. So several years ago, God said to me, this is a word over your life, son. And then 17 years later, it started to come to pass. But I wanted to dig up my seed. I wanted to force the issue. There were things in my life that I didn't grab hold of this, for the word will never fail. If God says it, he will do it. You don't have to be afraid of what people might say in the middle of the seed, the time and the harvest. There will be a harvest. And there is a opportunity, I think, for us to become fearful because God has said something and we haven't seen it. We were saying, myself and a friend we met last week, and we were saying that, you know, God wants to prosper us. But we didn't feel very prosperous. Well, the seed, time and harvest. When one door shuts, we believe another door will open. But isn't it hard when you're going through that? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the end of that says this, I will fear no evil because you comfort me. But the comfort of God normally comes when we're going through the valley. Because when we're on the heights, we don't need his comfort. So God's word will never fail us. So we don't have to fear his word failing, because it won't. His word is true. If God has said it, he will do it. There may be a time, there may be a process, there may be some knocking off of the rough edges, there may be situations and circumstances that you have to walk through. You have to maybe, I don't know, maybe you have to walk through the valley to get the comforts. But if God has said it to you personally and corporately through his word, he will accomplish it. We're no longer a slave to fear because we are children of God. In Luke 12, starting at 31, but seek his kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So maybe there is someone, maybe not. Maybe there's someone you know that's fearful. Have I really got my salvation? Do I really belong to him? Read what God has said. If God has said it, he will do it. In this scripture here, it says, seek first the kingdom. As we seek God, everything else gives us. When Michelle brought her testimony of how she met Clive, her husband, she realized in her life she had a list of to-dos. I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to meet a tall man with lots of hair. That's what she said. That's not what I said. With lots of hair. And God said to her, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. And as she started to seek God's face, she didn't have to fear for the future because God had a plan for her. So I want to remind us as a congregation afresh today that God's word will never fail. You're no longer a slave to fear because you are a child of God. In Luke, that's the same scripture, 22:31. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Simon, Simon, it says in 31, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And if you read a little further, it's talking about all of his followers, that Satan wants to sift them. But I have prayed, Jesus said, for you, Simon. So he's prayed for his followers, that your faith may not fail. The Bible reminds us of this, and I want to remind you of it, that Christ intercedes for you. So whenever the enemy accuses the brethren, whenever he accuses you, Jesus is right there to say, I've interceded. Satan wants to sift you. And maybe you're going through a sifting this season. Maybe there's things you feel that there's a violent shaking. Maybe the fear of failure is coming upon you. But God says, you are my child. No longer a slave to fear, but you are a child of God. And be encouraged, just as Simon Peter, the Lord said to him, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Because our success is not reliant upon us, is it? It's reliant upon Christ in us. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we make our confession of faith, Scripture tells us that there's a deposit of the Holy Spirit deposited inside of me and you that makes us part of his family, yes? That makes you part of his family, yes? That makes you part of his family. It means that you don't have to fear what the enemy says because the enemy doesn't own you. You've been bought at a price. You've been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. And maybe you have a fear of failure, but his word will never fail. And if you stay close to him, if you seek first the kingdom, all the desires that you have that are godly desires will come to pass. And even if Satan is knocking on your door, then I want to encourage you today that Christ is interceding so that your faith don't fail. That you may feel weak, but in him you can be strong. In Acts 5:38. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. What's happening here is, they're preaching the gospel and they're trying to silence them. And one man stands up and says, listen, if this is of God, it will not fail. If it's of man, it will fail. There are things that we do and things that we say that are of us. And they fail. But God's word will never fail. So if you have a fear of failure, then if you build your house on the rock, Christ being the rock, you won't fail. That parable talks of it like this. It says, when the wind and the waves beat against that house. So when the world comes and throws everything it has at that house, it will not fail. It will stand. Why? Because it's built on the rock. And then it says about the house that's built on the sand, it says when the tide rises and the wind and the waves lash against that house, it will collapse. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because it's built on the sand. But when you look at it, you'll see that the two houses look identical. So on the top, they look identical, so we can be in the world, but not of the world, because we're of a different spirit, the Spirit of God. And when the spirit of fear comes upon us, if we have our feet firmly placed on the rock, then we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear failure. God's word will never fail. So can I encourage us today that you've been bought by the precious blood of Christ? That when Satan tries to sift you, remind him that Jesus is interceding for you and that you've been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. To know that when we do things in the human sense, they will fail. But when we do them in the spiritual sense, they will not fail because God's word is true. It says, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you are going through a time of fearfulness, if you are going through a season of sifting, then be of good cheer because you belong to him. I want to encourage us. It says this in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves. So for me, when I was in this situation where I was fearful and not in a sense that I was afraid of people, where I wasn't afraid of people, I was afraid of conflict. I was afraid that if I stood up, I would say something and do something that my old nature would be in control of. Because the old Andrew would have done some things and said some things for the right reasons, but in the wrong way. But the new Andrew, as the new spirit, was afraid of doing that. And there was something in me. And what was that? That was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God kept me in my seat until what came out of my heart was compassion. So when I stood up, hopefully, I spoke in a honorable way. But fear crept up on me, so I needed to examine myself. So I bring this to myself first and to us as a congregation. It says here in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So if we're working in human sense, we will fail the test. If we're working in a spiritual sense, we'll not fail the test. But God puts things before us so that we can examine ourselves. When we talk about coming before his table, in the scripture there, it talks about examine yourselves to make sure that you are worthy and you're not coming to eat in an unworthy manner. And then that's not about you doing things wrong. It's about you bringing his church into disrepute. It's about you ripping apart the unity that some people in that day, they were getting drunk and they were being gluttons and they were being disrespectful because there was one loaf represented by many people and there was a disrespecting going on there. And he was saying, examine yourselves before you come. So, you know, if you come into church and you've messed up, it's okay to come before his table after examining yourself, saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. So we don't have to be fearful of what man says, but we need to be fearful of what God says. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do not realize that Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. So we don't want to be slaves to fear because we are children of God, but it's good for us to examine ourselves so that we can pass the test. In Galatians 6:4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Each one should test their own actions. And I used to, when I was at school, I'd say, yeah, but he did that. Yeah, but she did that. And I'd say, well, we don't care what they did. In essence, they didn't get caught. You did. It's about what you've done. It's about what you've said. And I used to compare myself with someone else. I used to think, well, if they can do it, then it's okay for me to do it. But two wrongs don't make a right, does it? So in the kingdom, I want to encourage us to lay hold of the fact that we've been bought by a price, but it was a precious price. It was Christ gave everything so that we could have life and life in all its fullness. He gave of himself so that we could be who he wants us to be. We don't have to conform to this pattern of this world. We're not a slave to sin anymore. But sin does come along, creeps up on us and try to pounce and bring fear, I believe. But when we stand, last week I used the illustration of God giving us the armor to put on, and we know that we've been saved. So when the enemy comes to enslave us, we can say we belong to Christ. We have the helmet of salvation. We've been made righteous, not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. And now he's deposited that deposit of righteousness in me. And I want to exercise that. I want that to grow. I want the fullness of God's Spirit to live in me. But I also suggested last week that scripture tells us that God is our rear guard. And it's okay when you're looking forward, isn't it? If you're in the military, you will know this more than us in civilian life, that you need to know that your men, your fellow men and women, are watching your back. You need to know if you are going forward that someone is watching your back, yes? It's the same in the kingdom. God says through his word that he is our rear guard. So we're no longer a slave to fear, but we are a child of God. But we have to test ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. Each one should test their own actions, that they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. So it's not about what you've done. It's about what I've done. God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. So when fear tries to creep up on you, remember that you belong to God. Remember that he is your rear guard. In Luke 6:39, he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind, Jesus says? Well, if they do, they will both fall into a pit. So that's why it's an encouragement to hear afresh, to examine yourself. Because I'm afraid if you followed me in certain places, you would fall, because there's areas of my life that I'm blinded to. There's areas in my life that I can't see what's in front of me because I've chosen not to. And God calls me to examine myself, and I'm asking us afresh to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. So when the enemy creeps up from behind, we can say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I've been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. That I am no longer blinded by this world. I can see because I have my eyes open. They will both fall into a pit. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. It goes on to say this. This was one of the first portions of scripture God slapped me around the head with. I say that in a way that you'll understand when I explain. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? This scripture says to me that I should examine myself. When I was, I won't mention names because some of you will know this person. I used to work for a Christian family, and there was a particular person there that really used to get up my nose. And I was a Christian for about 2 weeks, and I wanted to take a plank and anoint this guy. I didn't understand what the word meant, but I really wanted to use this plank of wood. And there was something about this person that really irritated me. Now realize that I was a two-week-old Christian, and God was trying to work in my life. I opened my Bible when I got home, and this was the portion of scripture that really slapped me around the head, really hit me. How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye," when you fail to see the plank in your own? And when I looked at the mirror of my life, and I felt convicted and convinced to repent and say, "God, forgive me." And I could do that. Why? Glad you asked. Because I'm a child of God. God gives me room to fail. Because when I fall, he picks me up. When the enemy comes to attack, he's my rear guard. I've been purchased by his blood. One of the things I did grab hold of at a very early stage of my Christian walk was this, that I am justified, sanctified, set apart. I'm going from glory to glory. I'm part of the royal priesthood. I've been adopted into his family. I had an air of arrogance in the right sense of the word, a gentle, straight man. I had an air of arrogance about me that actually believed what God said. So when the enemy tried to creep up on me, I could usually say, "No weapon forged against me will prosper because I'm his child." But on this particular occasion, a few weeks ago, fear started to arise. And as I started to look into the whole process of it, I got a glimpse of failure, that I wasn't eloquent enough, that I couldn't say this, I couldn't do this, I wasn't tall enough, I wasn't short enough, I was too wide, I was too narrow, whatever it may be, the world would say to me, "You're not worthy." And I studied this word for myself so that I could bring it for us as a church, to encourage you to say, examine yourselves. Maybe there's a speck in your eye or a plank. I don't know. But you know what? God gives us the grace to look into the mirror and say, "Let me take it out." We don't have to be afraid of failure, because this is a good thing. It's called iron sharpening iron when brothers and sisters get around each other. It's called the Spirit of God doing some surgery when he provokes you and he stirs you up so that you can go from glory to glory, that you can believe that you are who God says you are. So if you've suffered fear in your life, maybe a fear of failure, maybe today you can look at yourself the way that God does, as a child. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord," unless, of course, you fail the test. And that's for you to examine yourselves. I'm only here to bring God's word in an encouraging way, yet a sensitive way, yet also a challenging way. Because God's word is like a double-edged sword, yes? And what does it say? It's like a double-edged sword. It can bring division. It can divide the good from the bad and the ugly and cut it away. But what it does is it cuts it away. And it leaves a good. I remember, so I'm digressing very slightly. Years ago, I was ministering to a friend of mine who was in the ministry. He was in full-time ministry, and something had happened in his life, and he resigned. And it cut me to the bone. It really, I couldn't work out why I was so devastated. I was bereft. I felt as if I'd lost my father all over again. And as I'm crying out to God, going, "What on earth is going on?" He showed me this picture. He showed me a picture of an apple. And please try and take the worldly bit about it and put the spiritual in it. This apple. And there's a law at work, and the law at work was gravity. And if I was to let go of that apple, it would fall to the ground. And as I thought about my friend, I put his name as that apple. And what had happened is he'd fell to the ground. Well, as I picked this apple up, there was a bruise. And that bruise was only about this big. And so the Lord says, what would you do with that apple? And I said, I'd cut the bruise out. He said, what does it leave? I said, the goodness of the fruit. And so often in life, we can, if we're not careful, be surrounded by good-meaning Christians who will allow that fruit to rot because they're afraid. Because they're afraid. But God's called you and me not to be fearful, not to be afraid of failure. If you know someone or there's someone in your life that you can help pick them up and just show them the speck of dust because you've already taken the plank out and allow God to do the surgery and cut that rot out, then there'll be the goodness of the fruit left. Not only will there be the goodness of the fruit left, God says he's a restorer. So he makes it whole again. Now, that's a slight digression, but for me, I wanted to say that because there are times where when we fall, when we stumble, we think that's it because we're afraid of what people will say. We're afraid of what people might think about us. But if we know who we are in Christ Jesus, then we won't be people that won't examine ourselves. We'll be people that will examine ourselves according to his word, and we will see that we can stand before him because we've passed the test. And the test is this: is Christ our Lord and Savior? If the answer is yes, that's one of his tests. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This was the portion of scripture I was talking about. And it goes on to say here something quite fearful. It says, that's why some of you have died prematurely. Now, this is not about when we say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing before we come to church. This is simply about ripping apart the body of Christ. It's something more severe. But we are called to examine ourselves. So God's word is challenging, I believe. It's encouraging. It's nourishment. It's food. It's all those things. If we choose to take what God says at face value, if we choose to take his word in Hebrews 3, verse 6, crumbs. Verse 6, it says, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and hope in which we glory. There is a process that we have to take here. We have to hold on to what God has said. Christ is faithful over his house. We are his house. We're part of God. The Bible says that we are spiritual stones being built together to produce a holy temple. Now, there's lots of things I'd like to say, but I'm not. Time is not going to allow me to. So I'm just going to skip out one or two things and go to this portion of scripture here in Matthew 5:16. It says this: in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. After we've examined ourselves and looked and said, Lord, if there's anything in me that I need to deal with, Lord, deal with it, because I'm your child. Shine your light upon me, creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. There was 3 or 4 months of my life some years ago where that was the theme of my prayer. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And I see you clearly. That there was plank in my eye and I was trying to pull specks out of other people's eyes. So God was calling me to examine myself. And when I start to examine myself, I could understand that I didn't have to fear the world around me. I didn't have to fear people. I didn't have to fear failure. I didn't have to fear failure. In John 21:15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you would have understood this story. Where Peter, full of, pride, being a proud follower, full of pride, full of enthusiasm, said, I will never deny you, Lord. I'll never leave you. And Jesus said, surely before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. Never, he says. And yet, He did deny him. He failed. And that could be the end of the story. And maybe for some of you, you've done something, said something, been somewhere and thought, how can God love me? I've failed. Well, if you're a child of God, you're no longer a slave to fear. You've been bought by the price, precious blood of the Lamb. You belong to him. You're justified, sanctified, set apart. You're going from glory to glory. Yes, there's a process where God says, examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. Don't fail the test. Yes, there's a process where he says, when you build something, build it on something solid, which is me. When you have aspirations to do something, to be somewhere, then that's good. You know, God actually wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. He said, take from the one who has one and give it to the one who has 10. He didn't say give it to the one who has 2 so that he has 3. Make it more fair. He says, no, the one who's taken what I've given him and used it, give it to him. God wants to bless you. Use what you've got. In here it says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Then feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my people. Failure is not failure until failure is final. And in God's word, if you belong to him, failure is not final. Faith is final. Let's renew our faith afresh today. Maybe this word doesn't speak to you in the same way that it speaks to me. But I want to encourage you to encourage someone else that may be going through a tough time. That someone else that maybe is looking at their feet instead of looking at the Lord. You know, when he got out of the boat, he started to walk on water. What happened? He looked around him and took his eyes off of Christ and put his eyes on the circumstances and the situation around him. He started to fall. But he didn't fail, did he? I become very poetic when I read that portion of scripture. And I, in my mind's eye, I think about Jesus doing this. Doesn't say it in scripture, but I just think about the character of Christ. So he gets out of the boat and he says, Lord, if it's you, call to me. And so often for you and me in our lives, we've said that very same thing. God, if it's you, just tell me. Just tell me, do I go for this job? Do I not go for this job? Do I marry this woman? Do I not marry this woman? What do I, Lord, you tell me. If it's you, then I'll come. And we're desperately waiting for his voice. Yet this man, he heard Jesus say, come. And it says he got out of the water. He started to walk on the water. But it says, looking at the wind and the waves around him, he started to fall. Now, I imagine Jesus doing this. Peter, Peter, ye of little faith, go back. Come on, try again. Now, I know it's poetic, but look at the character of Christ. When you sin, does he leave you in your sins? No, he lifts you up. Why? Because you're his child. So why would he leave you to sink in the sea? So for me, when Peter started to fall, Jesus, I believe, didn't see it as a failure, but as an opportunity. Peter, increase your faith. Go back and try again. Failure is not failure until failure is final. And my final scripture is this. In 1 Corinthians 13, we hear it read out at weddings, and I have used this portion of scripture at funerals. But in verse 8, it says this, love never fails. There was a chap in the church that I grew up in. He used to stand at the back of the church. AJ and Jackie will remember him and go, God is love. Most weeks, God is love. Love never fails. Why? Because God is love. So can I finish with this word of encouragement? That if you've been afraid of failure, God's word never fails. If you've been afraid of failing the test, examine yourself. Say, God, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. That, Lord, that I may see you in your holiness. That, Lord, that I may be who you've called me to be. If you walk into a situation where the world seems to be coming towards you, remember that God's given you an armor to put on. Remember that he is your rear guard, that he will support you and he will uphold you in the holiness of his word. There is an encouragement for God's people, and he says, be holy as I am holy. So when we examine ourselves, we're simply coming back to his throne of grace and saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Father God, I'm no longer a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. Lord, I've been purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm not a slave to sin, because sin has been defeated. Sin has been overcome. Lord, help me to be who you've called me to be, to build my house upon the rock, to serve the God of the new beginnings. Father God, today, take care of any fear that I have. Father God, today, help me to see myself as the answer to the question, to seek first your kingdom and see everything else added. Lord, I thank you that you want to prosper me, encourage me, heal me, redeem me. Father, I thank you that you go before me. You're on my right, you're on my left, and you're my rear guard. Father, I thank you that in times of trouble, you ask me to just look at you, that I may get out of my boat and I may walk on the waters of life, that when the wind and the waves may swirl around me, help me to fix my gaze upon you, that, Father God, that I will not fear and I will not fail because I'm your child. I ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. I trust that you would have gleaned something that would help you through this next week and help you to be that person that will help somebody else. Amen. Thanks, AJ.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.